Hi, Dick.
Hi, Bill. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
Nice to be with you.
Hi, everybody. My name's Sandy Beach, and I'm an alcoholic. How y'all doing? Well, it's really nice to be back in, where I got sober and where all my friends are. And it's a pleasure to be with all of you this morning. And Dick brought back some good memories of Saturday Morning Live. It's just about the time right now to start that meeting at 10 o'clock, and I don't see any potted mums. So I don't think we can have that particular meeting. There was just so many great stories about that. I don't know if any of you were there the day we had the raffle with no tickets. You think it can't be done, but it was. It was all the prizes were handed out to winners, and it was quite a morning. And when I think back on that, I'll tell you who got the most out of that was me, because it just was amazing to me how exciting the principles of Alcoholics Anonymous themselves are. You know what I mean? To just realize that somehow, back in 1937, somewhere it's around there, all this wisdom came funneling through Bill Wilson onto the pages of the Big Book, and then later on onto the pages of the 12 and 12. And look how many lives have been enriched by those words and by following the guidance that is set forth in there. And every time I would read those and sort of go over that, I would feel it. I mean, I could just feel the energy of the truth that's contained in there. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about them this morning. I'll talk to you a little bit about myself, but I really enjoy sharing some thoughts about our principles, and I'm going to save a lot of time for that. I got sober in Pearl Harbor Day of 1964, and I haven't been drunk since my first meeting, and as I always say, I owe it all to not drinking. That is the that's the total package on how you avoid getting drunk, is you just never drink. Then once you do that, then you're left with getting happy with not drinking, and that is what AA is all about. I mean, many of us had tried to not drink on our own before we got here, and it was so miserable that we said, the heck with this. And in AA, that's the wonder of Alcoholics Anonymous. And if you're new, I know that may be hard to believe, that there's going to come a day not too far in the distant future, when you are going to feel in your heart that it's Saturday night and you're so happy that you're not drinking. You're so excited. You just don't want to go out and celebrate that you're not drinking. Only we don't celebrate the old way. We just celebrate the fact that I'm not drinking. And that's what a miracle is. That's what spiritual power is. It's something that none of us could have done on our own. To just go, boy, I'm so happy that I'm not drinking, because drinking, for me, like just probably everybody else in the room, was how I survived in this terrible world. Drinking was not my problem, it was the answer to my problems. My problem was sobriety. Every time I was sober, it was awful. And it was just awful. I was born sober. I went to grammar school sober. Went to high school sober. And it was awful. It was just terrible. Everybody was better than I am. I didn't fit in. I was nervous all the time. I didn't know what was going on. I was afraid. There was something missing. I knew there was something wrong with me. There was something different with me. But I had to pretend that none of that was true so that I could blend in, you know what I mean? But I felt like someday, I heard a speaker say this, he felt someday a spaceship was going to come down and go, sorry, we put you on the wrong planet. We're going to take you to where you belong. You were right. All those feelings were right. You don't belong here at all. And so there was the problem. There was my problem. It was already there. And when alcohol came along, it fixed it. It was a miracle. I could not believe the power of alcohol. It just changed the world that I lived in. It made other people change. Whereas before I had some drinks, they looked intimidating and threatening and hostile and different. And after I had a few drinks, those very same people were friendly. I could see it in their eyes. They liked me. Maybe they didn't know they liked me, but I could see it in their eyes. I just looked around and I said, I love this world. I love the three-drink world. That was my favorite world. And I was just comfortable and I felt complete. I really felt complete as a human being. So alcohol was a tremendous power in my life. I used to think of it as the secret of life. It held all of the answers, all of the power to make me enjoy this world and feel confident of myself and so on down. Now, the problem, of course, is that there were some side effects from drinking. And I think all during my drinking years, I was trying to get rid of those side effects, you know, the going to jail, getting in fights and losing your money and losing your car and your family doesn't like you. They don't understand that you have come across the solution to life, and they don't understand why alcohol comes ahead of everything. And I did. I knew why it came ahead of everything, because without it, I was back to where I was with all these problems and feeling uncomfortable. So anytime somebody would say to me, you ought to just not drink, I would say what you all said. Hey, you don't understand what you're saying when you say to me, don't drink. That's like me saying to you, oh, you have cough a lot and you have asthma? Don't breathe. You'll be fine. You know, I mean, to me, drinking was breathing. I mean, that was how I survived. So for someone to say, don't drink, that just took me back and left me totally unarmed, unprotected, no power to get along in the world. I was back just me. And it was overpowering and intimidating. And so I never thought of not drinking. I just thought of drinking differently, drink different stuff. And as the years went on, I got out of college, I got in the Marine Corps, became a fighter pilot, and I'm flying these planes, and got married, had six kids, got promoted to first lieutenant, got promoted to captain, and then I never got promoted again. There was that was as far as I got. But at that point in time, if you were to look at this little track record, you would go, look at this guy, he's just moving right along. It looks like, boy, I wish I was him. Well, you would have been really gotten screwed on that wish, I'm going to tell you that. Whoa. It's real dangerous to want to be somebody else, I'll tell you that. It's just, but you know, like a lot of us, it looked good on the outside, but on the inside, it was just getting ready to totally collapse. And it came a time when I was shaking so much. I was so filled with anxiety on the inside, and alcohol could hardly touch it anymore, because now I was having the physical withdrawal part of the disease. And so alcohol was causing problems, you know, physical ones for me. As I tried to drink more, and I tried to hide it, and I tried to lie, and it was just a desperate situation. I went to see the doctors about having withdrawal symptoms in airplanes, which was very scary. I would lose vision and sweat and shake. And, you know, all of a sudden I just didn't trust the pilot of the plane I was in, which was me. You know, it's just like, I remember saying to myself, I said, you know, this already is a very dangerous game. But you're raising the odds about 20 to 1 here. You can't see, and you're having an anxiety attack. I mean, that's not even supposed to be in the equation. And so I went to the doctors once, and they were very upset. They examined me down in Pensacola. What could cause this guy to have this loss of vision and heart palpitations and sweating? And there I was, the perfect alcoholic, shaking, sweating, smelling of alcohol. And this was back in the dark ages before we had any alcohol programs or anything like that. And there was no such thing as alcoholism as a diagnosis in the military. And so at the end of 2 weeks of studying me, they left it up to the psychiatrist, and they determined that it was a childhood fear of flying that had manifested itself, and that's how I was written up. That was my paperwork. He never should have been allowed to fly these last 12 years, you know. And after 3 months, the Marine Corps gave me a new assignment. You know, here I was a washed-up pilot and just in terrible shape, so I was made an air traffic controller. And I went... And, you know, us alcoholics are amazing because that's a very hard school, and I made it through. Somehow I make it through air traffic control school. Now I'm in charge of a little unit, and we're overseas, and I can still remember. I went over to Japan and go into this air traffic control unit in Iwakuni, Japan, and there was a gunnery sergeant. He was a senior non-commissioned officer in the unit, and he just took one look when I